Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Just a little bit about what we're into. It's called, the series is I'm New, What Do I Do? And some of you are going, I'm not new, but you know what? You might be so old you forgot. You've been so old in the things of God, you actually forgot to be godly in these ways. And so all of us need a refreshing. The word is never turns void. The word never is not good and rich. And so let's just press in and see what God has for us. I was raised in church, as you all know. But I had a very, very dark time in my life, probably between the ages of 15 to about 19 years old. And my poor parents, I think my dad got gray hair from me. And so they were on their knees praying and believing God because I was not serving God. And I had chose to not serve God. And in those places, I found sin, and sin found me and found me hard. And so I was in the most scary place. And I remember somebody asking me, aren't you... You know, PKs, they always get the extra. Aren't you that pastor's kid? Shouldn't you be doing this? And they always judge you what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing. You know, we're just human like anybody else. We have to work out our own salvation. So please don't do that to my children, or you will have me coming after you. Because everybody has a right to work out their own salvation, and God is so gracious with each of us. And God was with me the whole time, and I remember at this moment in my walk with the Lord where he was like, you're at a standstill. What are you going to do? You're so broken, but you know what you need. Why are you being so stubborn to come back to me? And I said, because I am so broken and so messed up, and I've gone too far, and there's no coming back now. And I heard the sweet love of God say, oh, but there is. And I remember being in the back of church because my dad made me go. So when you make your kids go and they hate you for it, just keep doing it. And so my dad said, as long as you live in this house, you're going to church. And you will be in church two times a week. Do you understand? And I was like, sure. So I remember sitting in the farthest seat in the back. And I remember just breaking down and just falling apart. And the Lord just met me right there. And he showed me a picture of me broken. And my hand just, it was bloody. It was beaten because I was getting beat up by a boyfriend who almost killed me. And yet nobody knew. And so it was beaten and it was bloody. And I remember this hand, and it was my hand, and I felt the presence of God reach over and grab my hand. And in this vision, I saw Jesus' hand take me. And he said, no, come, let's take this journey back together. And I got right with the Lord that night. You know, pastor's kid getting saved in the back of the sanctuary. I'm sure my dad loved that. My sister also got saved with her little skimpy cheetah dress on the front row. My dad was like, and that's my other daughter. But see, we all need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. It can't just be what we expect. He meets us right where we're at. And he took me through a journey for the next 3 years of just loving him so deeply, being so passionate about him. Because when you felt the flames of hell in your life, guess what happens? You never want to go back. I never wanted to be in those moments again. I never wanted to experience a day without the love of God again. And so some of you know what I'm talking about. And those are the places that God wants to bring you. And so if you're in this room tonight and you feel like you're not enough, or you feel like you just could never be good enough, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be, because he will be enough, and he's good enough. And all you got to do is just take him by the hand and walk with him through this beautiful journey of salvation in life. And so in that place, he found me, and I found him. And it was a beautiful love story, and it has been. And now I'm 45 years old. Almost 46. I've got 3 kids. I've got 1 young adult. Lord help me. They are so much different than young children. And then I have 1 graduated this last week. I'm so proud of him. And then I have my youngest who's 15, who's getting ready to take his driving school. So I'm in a new season of life, and I'm looking ahead, and I'm seeing what God has done in my life. And I'm here to tell you today, a broken person standing in front of you who never thought I could be used for God, that God can heal anything, that God can restore anything, and that God is on the move for you and your heart and your family's heart and your children's heart. So don't give up on God, because he'll never give up on you. You see, God chose you, and guess what? When you said yes to Jesus, you chose him. So now you are in a covenant relationship with him. And many times, we make decisions about life, and life gets really hard and complicated. Let me tell you, it doesn't end, okay? I think this side of heaven, it's always going to be hard. I think this side of heaven, it's a good fight of faith. I think about my dad often, and I think, boy, he's probably just up there like, it's okay, it's so much better here, just keep going. Yeah. because he was just so ready to go. But I had never, ever been in a moment where I wasn't fighting something. And so you go, well, that's just great. I was hoping when I came to Christ, it would all end. No, no. It doesn't end, but guess what? You now have new power working in and through you. You are not alone in the problems, in the trauma, in the sorrow like we talked about. And that when there's a breaking, if God is breaking you, he always puts you back together stronger and better. And so just hold on, because if you're in that season, God has got something new for you on the other end of it. And so as we join in with God and we're starting to make decisions in life, and you're a new believer or you're an old believer, so many times, even still as an old believer, I'm like, did I make the right decision? Did I buy the right house? Did I buy the right car? Did I parent my kids right? Was I okay with Dan today? Was I good to my staff? Whatever your questions are, you ask God daily. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to have all the answers, and you don't have to do life alone. So all of those answers are supported by a God who is the Alpha and the Omega. He's on your side. He's on your team. He's your cheerleader, and he's cheering you on in the next season of life. So if you're in a moment of life where you're in transition and you're going, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm bracing for impact. I'm here to tell you, hold on, brace on to Jesus, because that impact is going to come, but it's going to come and it's going to strengthen you, and you're going to become bold and firm and strong in your faith the closer you get to God, because there is no way to build a business. There is no way to have a marriage. There is no way to be a parent. There's no way to be a good employee. There's no way to do it the right way without Christ. You will do it on your own, in your own effort, in your own way, and I will say to you later in life, well, how did that go? Because you are not enough, but he's more than enough. And so you need him. And so there's seven different, in the back of the book, they had me go through the seven different days. Don't worry, I won't go through every 7 day. You will have to go through those yourself, so it's just gonna be an overview. But the benefits to life for now, with Jesus as my Savior and me as his child, are, you ready? We get to see him and hear God daily. We get to see him and hear him daily. I should have had a better amen than that, especially from the old timers. Because I think sometimes you don't realize you have this in your wheelhouse, that you have the access and the accessibility to the one who knows all, sees all, and is in all. And so before you do something, you can go and talk to him, and you can be like, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right decision? And guess what? He will talk to you back. You see, the pressure is off. You don't have to try and plan your own life. Isn't that good news? Jeremiah 29:11, go with me there through 14. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Well, isn't that good news after turning on the news? Right? That in those days when you pray, how many of you are praying? Right? You're going, oh no, I need to start praying. You do. I will listen. That means heaven, when you pray, did you know how powerful it is? Heaven is listening. Woo, I love that. And then it says he responds. Then it says, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations where I had sent you, and I will bring you home again to your land. God wants to bring you back to the borders of his safety, his provision, his protection, his guidance, his will, his way, and his blessings. Did you know with God, you cannot fail? Did you know that even in your mistakes, God uses them and builds them, and he grows you, and he stretches you in them? So all of you perfect people that can't make a mistake, I'm here to tell you, just let it go. Just let it go. Because your mistakes are actually something God gets to work with. And so in that, you don't have to make your own way. I've heard Pastor Powell did such a good job of talking about the will of God. But I wanted to give you just something really quick about the will of God. The will of God is when you see God, you hear God. But T.L. Osborne said it this way. If you want to know if you're in the will of God, ask yourself these three questions. Is it good for God? Is it good for others? And is it good for you? If those are three yeses, go for it, baby. Do it. Conquer the world. Go step out in faith. Go do something extravagant. Because you know what? God's going to bless it. He's going to touch it, and his hand will be upon it. If it lines up with the word of God and it doesn't go against what the word of God says, then go for it. But see, we become too comfortable in our complacent walks. We become too afraid and agile to offend people. But I'm here to tell you, church, it is time for us to shake up the cages a little bit, because there's a world out there that is worshiping demons and listening to demonic things. There's a world out there that's believing false idols and doing, they think they are their own gods. Can I give you a new one right now that I'm learning and I'm seeing? We're doing so much self-care and self-help and counseling and, you know, what's the root of that? And where's that coming from? I don't want to condescend that, but what I do want to say is this. At some point, when are you not thinking about yourself? Are you now your own God? Are you worshiping yourself so much that you can't even see God in the midst of all of it? Because it's not about us, church, but it's about God in us. And those things that were broken in us, God comes to renew, to reconcile, and restore. And that's when we begin to get into the will of God for our lives, and a new plan can be unleashed to us. And when God tells us to do something, then we hear from the voice of God, and we see God so beautifully that we can walk it out. So is it good for God? Is it good for others? And is it good for you? Go for it. Acts 22:14 says, "Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you shall know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth.'" See, the beauty of God is that he is working with your life. Isn't that cool? It's just beautiful to know that God is working his plan out in your life, that you are not just a nobody, but you are a somebody, that God sees you, he hears you, and he loves you, and he's talking to you. I want to encourage you to open your eyes, because every single day, if you are available, you will begin to see the beauty of all that God is doing in your life. You might be one of those negative people. I can tend to go on that negative side. And we become complainers, and this isn't right, and this costs too much, and these people are bugging me in this way, and this is so annoying, and why doesn't anything work around here? And, oh, this is why we can't have nice things. But how about we begin to say, well, you know what? I'm so grateful that I actually have a house to take care of, and I'm so grateful that I have too many clothes that I don't know what to wear today, and I'm so grateful that I have friends and too many friends that I don't have enough time to even go out with them anymore because I'm so busy at work because I got a good job, and God pays me. And see, we can begin to turn around those things that we complain about. We need to be able to see God in them instead of seeing them as something bad. God is your provider. Open your eyes every day. He's watching. He's trying to show himself off. There was a season right after my dad had passed, and me and the kids and Dan went up to Mammoth. We love to hike and do all the stuff in Mammoth that you can do. We're outdoorsy people. And so Dan and I were kind of like, the kids are bugging us. Let's go on a hike. And we were like, guys, do you want to go on a hike? They're like, no. And so we were like, forget you. We're going. And so we went on this incredible hike. It was a group of different little hikes that we had never been on before. And so we were just having fun. And I felt like God was like, that's what I needed for you to do. Because I wanted to show myself off to you tonight, Jess. This was at dusk. We found little creeks like this everywhere. There were flowers in bloom everywhere. There was like the beauty of heaven following us everywhere. And as Dan was, you know, Pastor Dan, he's a photographer. This is one of his pictures. And so when he's out there just taking pictures of a butterfly on a flower, I should have shown you that one, or whatever he's doing, I'm praying. I'm in the back huffing and puffing because I'm the fatter one out of the two of us. And so I'm like, hold on, let me keep up. Like, and I'm just like, Lord, you can give me the strength that I can keep going because we're going up this hill like this. And I remember just God talking to me, and he told me to stop. Just stop. Just stop walking. He's like, you're always trying to get somewhere so fast, but you're missing me. You're always having something to do, but you're missing me. Daughter, I need you to know I was in the sorrow. I was with you when you heard your mom cry like you've never heard her cry before. I was there when you had to hold her because she could not stand up. I was with you when you were broken and beaten on that ground and I told you to scream because I was there to rescue you and take you away from your abuser. I was there when you had your children and you were grateful and I saw the joy on your face. You see, God is in the every single day of whatever you're walking through. You could be going through trial, mourning, fighting a good fight of faith, or you could be on your highest mountain and God is blessing you. But no matter where you find yourself, church, remember to see God in it. You see, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place that he makes. Go see the world this summer. Go see what God has done. Because he shows his love through us, through the waves breaking on the waves on the shore. Have you ever just sat at the ocean, just pew, 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 and just that consistent, steady breaking of the waves? Sometimes I believe that it's God's way of showing us, hey, hold on, I'm not going to let him overtake you. I got you. You're sitting on that shore, and I'm stopping that wave from overtaking you. So church tonight, in your new walk with Christ or your old walk with Christ, I'm here to remind you to look for God in everything. But not just look for him because he's consistent. In Romans 1:20 it says, for since the creation of the world, he is invisible. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead. So they are without excuse. Have you heard? Well, what if people haven't heard about Jesus? What if they don't know? Guess what? When they walk outside and they see those trees, they know there's a God. When they see the birds of the air, and how do they eat? How do they toil? Yet they're never hungry because there's a God feeding them. Or how about the grass that withers and then it grows? There's a God that's watering it. There's a God and he's on the move, and that same God is on the move for you, and he's trying to show himself to you daily. Do not miss him. Seeing God every day is beautiful, but guess what? You also get to hear God every day. You say, well, Pastor Jess, this one's kind of hard for me. Because I often, as a pastor, get the question, how do I know that I'm hearing God? Or how do you hear from God? Well, God talks to you in many different ways. He talks to you in many different avenues. Number one is prayer. Number two is reading your Bible. How about there's a message from the pastor? Right now, you're hearing from God. You're not hearing from Jess. You're hearing from God. Because God spoke to me, I was in prayer, I've been fasting, I've been praying, I believe God is going to deliver a message to you. And so you are hearing from a pastor. How about a friend? Have you ever just sat with coffee with a friend and you've been talking to them and they say something and it's a confirmation to what God is speaking to your heart? How about simply just knowing there's a soft whisper? You've been in worship maybe sometimes, or you've been out on a hike like I was, and just that whisper from God. You so hearing God will make all the difference in your life. It will be your anchor when your world falls apart. There's so many times that you are going to enter into relationships. And as you enter into a new relationship, you don't always know the person you're entering into, right? And so if Dan were to call me on the phone, I'd know, oh, hey, Dan. Not just because of caller ID, but I could hear his voice, and I know him. But if some stranger calls me, I always get those robocalls, you know? And I'm like, who is this? That's what I say. Who is this? How did you get my number? And take me off your call list. And so you don't know them. They don't know me. They don't have the intimacy. They don't have the knowledge. They don't understand your personality. They don't understand why you are made the way you are. But guess what? When you talk to God, and God talks to you, he already knows you. He already knows everything about you. He knows all your mistakes and all your wins. He knows the past where you came from, and he knows where you're going. And so when you begin to teach yourself how to talk to him and how to hear his voice, it's going to take time. So how do you do that? First off, take a breath. You may miss God sometimes. We have a whole culture and a young generation. I love the Gen Zers. They're totally radical for the things of God. But I'm hearing a lot of them say, well, God told me. Well, when God said, well, you know, well, sometimes I'm like, God wouldn't say that. That's not even biblically sound. But God only says what his word says, and God only backs what his word backs. So don't let somebody falsely teach you that. You need to know your word as much as you get into your prayer life, because it's got to sync up. And so God speaks, and when God speaks, you can move. And when God moves, you'll know. And I remember one time I heard, oh, I just knew that I heard from God about something. And I was like, I'm going to tell someone. So I told them. And guess what? It didn't happen. And I felt so dumb. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that was embarrassing. I'm never gonna talk again. I'm never going to tell someone what I think God is saying. And I just heard the Lord say, knock it off. You kind of messed it up, but don't worry, I'll fix it. And they ended up getting what it was that God had told me they would get, but it just didn't happen the way that I said it would happen. So God makes all things good. He turns it all around. But as I have now, in my older age, learned in a relationship with Christ to be silent. in the presence of God? How about this? To fast and to pray in the presence of God. How about fast and pray? There is prophecy. There is prophecy. It has to be done right and in order, but it will be to edify the body of Christ. Maybe somebody's got a good word for you. That's already something God's speaking to you, but don't make it happen. Don't go out and make God's word happen. He will make it happen. You just stay anchored in it and just keep it in your heart and lock it in there and wait for him to do it. You see, there are so many ways to hear from the voice of God, but it's a learning place, but you got to remove those distractions. How much time are you giving to God? You give a lot of time to your friends. You give a lot of time to your family. You give a lot of time to entertainment and cooking and food and all work and all those things. But what about God? Are we ignoring him? Are we missing out on our time with him? You see, the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to hear God. You're going to know him. 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 10 says that the Lord called Samuel, and he said unto him, here I am. And then he ran to Eli. Eli was the prophet that he was being trained under. And he said, here I am, you called for me. But Eli said, I did not call. You go back and lie down. And so he went back and lied down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor the word of the Lord had yet been revealed to him. If you're newly saved, you may not know the voice of God yet. You may not understand when you read your Bible everything yet. And I want to tell you tonight, that's okay. Just keep doing it. Stay consistent in seeking God. Stay consistent in reading your word, okay? Because this is what happened. God was so gracious to him, he just kept calling him. He just kept going. And so it says, so the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he got up and he went into Eli. Here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord had been calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down, and it shall be that if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and then the Lord came and he stood and he called as at those times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm going to do a new thing in Israel, and both ears of everyone who hears about it will ring. He then goes on to tell him that pretty much he's taken out Eli and Eli's sons because Eli has let his sons sin in the temple. That is the first thing poor Samuel had to go and talk about. I'm sure God won't make you do that. So don't worry. You're like, I don't want to hear from God then. He's going to make me do that. But what you do want to hear is God's voice of telling you, you're going to be okay. I got you. Let's make a way. Watch what I do. John 10, 27 says, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, the sheep that are mine, my own, hear my voice and they listen to me and know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever, by any means, perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that good news? That when we hear God and we lean into who he is and what he's speaking to us, that Satan and no one can come take us from who he is. That's good news. It's a beautiful understanding. So now that you have that beautiful understanding that you can hear and see God daily, what are you going to do with it? Guess what? Now that you're saved, you are now a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, you got to tell someone about him, and you got to shine your light for him. You used to shine your light for football. You used to shine your light for that hot girl across the room. You used to shine your light for the clubs. Oh, I'm going to go clubbing. We're going to find somebody. We're going to drink. You got to shine your light for your boss. You got to prove yourself. You got to peacock or whatever we all do to make ourselves look good and make ourselves look. But I'm here to tell you, you need to let all that die. And it's time to let that die because that's flesh. That's things of this world. And now we need to go and we need to seek what it is God is asking of us. And God is asking of us to step out and to press in and to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means that I'm no longer wearing what the world wants and what I think the world is looking for and doing what the world expects of me. But I am now looking more like Jesus, and I am now looking more like what God is asking of me. And I am now going to stand for righteousness in a dark world. And I will stand for the goodness, and I will not stand for the evil. You see, we gotta shine so bright, and we gotta tell somebody. You are now responsible. As of this very moment, this big mouth blondie has told you, you are now responsible. So get busy, go shine your light so others will know. How do you do this? How do you shine your light? How do you witness? It can be nerve-wracking. I am not telling you to get out on that corner and have those burn or turn or burn signs and scream and yell at people on the corner. Those people drive me nuts. I'm like, how many people do you get saved doing that? It's probably more like you're at work and someone's going through a hard day. And they know you're different. You don't kind of joke at the water cooler like the guys do, and you don't participate in those nasty jokes like everybody else does, or you're different. You kind of, you know, talk about God a little bit more, and me and my wife, we're having problems. Do you think that maybe I could get you to pray for us? And all of a sudden you begin, that's your open door. Jump in, guys, jump in. Because right there, God is opening a door, and he has given you the boldness. And if you're afraid to say something, just ask and pray right there. Holy Spirit, just give me the words to say. And open your mouth and trust that God will meet you there as soon as you begin to open your mouth, that the power of God's going to come on you, and God's going to be talking to them because he loves them as much as he loved you when he saved you. You see, it's so scary to get out there and just be like, oh my goodness. But I remember being on mission trips, and I remember so many times I didn't ever speak the language. It was always like, and I was always the sore one out of it. Like, we always went to the Latin nations, and I'm like, Blondie, yeah, I know. People wanted to take pictures with me. I thought it was so weird. And so it was like I was that person, and yet there was always this moment that God would give me, and he would put me in a place where somebody would talk to me, or I got to pray for someone and they got healed, or God began to use me with even, he would always do this with me, but with the leaders of the places that I went to. I would just encourage them and build them up, and I just would, because I saw what my parents went through, and I was like, you can keep doing this. Come on, we need you. And so God would use me, and I would be able to be a witness in even foreign lands. So when you think you can't, I'm here to tell you there's no excuse. You totally can, because the power of God in and through you. You have to come to church. You have to fill up. You have to be connected to the house, because you're going to be working on empty if you're always giving out. This is my warning to you. Now that you've got so full of God, and then you want to be generous, you get excited. It's almost like adrenaline. Nobody needs drugs when they serve God, because as soon as you start getting people saved, you're like, man, oh, I'm going after someone else. And all right, what's next? I'm getting that shirt. Just ask me. Just ask me. I dare you. I know the answer. And people are like, well, what's the answer? Oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, like, there's this man, his name is Jesus, and you begin to witness, and it just becomes so addicting because God is so awesome. He really is so awesome. There's no other hope in this world except Jesus, and you have the answer. But you got to get filled up, church. You got to be on ready. And the only way to do that is to fill yourself up. How do you get filled up? You got to get into the house of God. You got to get and sit under the anointing. You got to sit under preaching so that when you go out, guess what happens? You're in the grocery store, you're at school, you're at work, and you're ready. You're in season. You're ready to go. And you're like, just send them to me, God. I'm ready. And guess what? Satan is not happy about it. But guess what? You're busy and you're shining so bright. There's so much to be done for the Lord. Can you imagine if all of us got one person saved every week? Just in this room, think about, and we brought them with us next week. Right? And then think about, then they get saved, and then they go tell someone, and we'd have to be in lines out the door right now. And that's the way church should be. But we take for granted the anointing. We take for granted the God of heaven and earth. We take for granted the goodness of God to come and get filled up so that we can go out and tell someone about Jesus, so that we can shine our light. It was some years ago that a man was returning from a trip, and he bought his wife a souvenir. And among them, there was a matchbox that would glow in the dark. After giving it to her, he turned off the lights, but the matchbox was not visible. This must be a joke, he said. She said, disappointed, the husband's comment. I've been cheated, he told her. Then the wife noticed that some of the words were in French on the box. So she took it to her friend, who knew the language. And the box and the directions said that if you want me to shine at night, keep me in the sunlight all day. So she put the gift box into the window, and that evening when she turned off the light, the matchbox had a brilliant glow. The surprised husband asked, "What did you do?" "Oh, I found the secret," she said. "Before it can shine in the dark, it must be exposed to the light." just as a matchbox, having been exposed to the sun, took the nature on of the sun and began to shine, so us Christians should consistently expose ourselves to the Son of Jesus Christ, that we may take him and shine our light in this dark world. Church, we got to get out into the world and we got to tell someone how good God is, because they're broken. They don't even know they're on their way to hell. They're not even understanding the depth and the power of God's love for them. Acts 22:15 says, "For you will be his witness to all men," not just some, to what? Oh, come on. "You will be his witness to some men? All men of what you have seen." Remember, you saw God and you heard God. You are going to be a witness to this. And last but not least, you got to stay connected to Jesus for the rest of your life. Some of you are out when you're bored. You don't finish anything. You start it, you're bored, and you move on. I have tons of family members that are like this. They are brilliant. They're actually very, very smart, smart people. They learn woodworking, and then they get bored with it, and they move on. They learn, my son, Titus, is like this. One summer, he was like, I'm gonna learn the trumpet. I was like, okay. So I got him trumpet lessons. He learned the trumpet. He mastered it. And then he was like, I'm bored. I'm done. Never picked up the trumpet again. Just last week, I was like, Titus, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm teaching myself the guitar today. I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm just going to learn the guitar this summer. Okay. All year, he was like, oh, I'm on Duolingo and I'm learning Spanish. Forget our Spanish classes. He's learning on Duolingo. He's telling me what everybody's saying all the time. So don't be shocked when the white boy with the blue eyes knows what you're saying. And so he's just one of those kids, but he gets bored and he moves on. How about you start a marriage and you never finish it? Ooh, man, I hit hard, huh? Okay, that's a little below the belt. How about we start a job and your boss tells you to do something, but you do it your own way? You don't do it the way he asked you to do it, but you thought it was better the way you had planned it to be. I'm here to tell you that doesn't work with God. That's not what God's talking about. You got to stay connected to God, his way, the rest of your life. That means that I can't do God my way. I got to do God's way. I got to do it the way he needs me to do it. I can't just fall off when I'm bored. Guess what? Christianity can be boring at times. You live in mundane seasons of just consistency, and you're just kind of like, yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Not much happening. But I'm here to tell you, you just stay consistent in the good. How about you're going through hell, and you're like, oh, I'm going through hell, and I just want to go get a drink. I stopped drinking years ago, but I just want to drink. No, you need the Holy Spirit to fill you. You don't need to be drunk with that. You need to be drunk with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled up by the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens is we so get disconnected to what God wants us to stay connected to. And this is Satan's plan for us as the body of Christ every day, all day long. The word of God says that he is seeking whom he may devour. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one he can devour. I've already tasted hell. I've already felt hell. I've already been burned by its flames, and I want nothing to do with it again. And so if I have to have good days and bad days with God, I'd rather good days and bad days with God than good days and bad days by myself in the world, disconnected from God. So how do you stay on this healthy journey with Christ? You got to keep attending church. Oh, I don't have my umbrella. I forgot my umbrella. Well, just pretend I have one, okay? You got to stay healthy because being a part of a church is a really big deal. Why is that such a big deal? Because there's a blessing and there's a covering in the house of God. I was going to bring an umbrella to show you and pop it up. So pretend like I'm holding an umbrella. And when the world comes and the rain comes to take you out, when it comes to wash you away and bring your sorrow and bring pain and suffering, you are now connected and you're under the covering and the anointing of the power of God for that church and that church's assignment that he has for them. Every church has a different assignment. Every church is beautiful in its own way. But if God called you to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, then this is your house and we are your pastors. And so you may not like us sometimes. That's okay. We don't like you sometimes. But we end up just saying, you know what? We love each other. We move forward, right? Because we forgive quickly. We learn to go forward. We learn how to love each other. You say, well, I didn't like so-and-so when I was in that small group. They started problems with me, and then they started talking about me online, and now I got church hurt. Church hurt. Well, listen, church hurt is really just people hurt. And the reality is you didn't learn your lesson from how to love people. Because God says to be long-suffering, kind. Woo! Yeah, I'm hitting hard because, see, God's word is going to teach us how to be better. And so as I get into church and I'm under that umbrella and I'm listening to the word of God, I'm going to be reminded or I'm going to be taught for the first time what God is requiring of me as a Christian. And so sitting in the house of God, how about the corporate anointing of the house of God? Did you know that when you come into the house of God and all of us are praying for the same thing, guess what happens? Power is being released on the earth. There is movement happening, and God is breaking through some barriers that needed to be broken through. When you worship God like you've never worshiped him before, when you throw up your hands and you say, oh, hallelujah, I praise you, God, guess what happens? You begin to shake and rattle hell, and us together are united, and we're linked like a chain that cannot be broken. Why? Because there's power in unity, and God says he's coming back for his bride. But first, he wants to see unity on the face of the earth. So church, we got to get better at loving each other. We got to get better at being together in church. When someone bugs you, give it to God. Trust him and just believe God that he'll walk you through it. You got to talk to him. You got to pray. You got to start making time for reading. I wanted to give you these stats. This was one thing that Chloe was preaching to me, and I was like, give that to me because I'm reading it to the adults tonight. The Bible reading, when you read your Bible, guess what it does? Okay, are you ready for this? When you read it 2 times a week, not many results happen in your life. When you read it 3 times a week, it does something in your life. 4 times a week, for some reason, spikes it all the way up. Loneliness drops 30% if you read your Bible 4 times a week. Anger issues drop 32%. How many of you mad all the time? You need to read your Bible 4 times a week. Bitterness in relationships drops 40% every week. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant stops and drops 60%. And pornography drops 61%. Sharing faith rockets 200%, and people having confidence in God's word and disciplines jumps up to 230% in their lives. Wow. So this right here, the B-I-B-L-E, will fill you up. It's what you live by. It's what you drink on. It's what you live in. It's your anchor. It's your source. It's your strength daily. Don't neglect it. Don't forget it. I know you're busy, but go back to it. Dan and I, we were tapping out. I mean, he came home and he yelled, Pastor Daniel. And I love when Pastor Dan yells because it doesn't happen often. So I'm like, it's really bad. And I try not to laugh at him. But I was already crabby myself. So I'm like, we're both crabby. We got to get out of here. So a few weeks ago, we told the staff, we're not coming on Sunday night. We're literally leaving our children at home. They're not allowed to go with us. And we are going away overnight. Now, everybody's like, you should take days. You should take a couple days. And I'm like, we can't afford that. But we're going to go, and we're going to just be without all of you. Don't call me. I ain't answering. If somebody breaks in, too bad. Call Nana. She'll come save you. And so we were just done. And I remember we got to that hotel, and I sat there, and I whipped out a list. And I was like, these are going to be questions we're going to talk about our marriage in. And he was like, okay. And they were just cute questions, like, when was the first time you noticed me? And then I had to answer it for him, too. We went through this for, hours? And it was so fun to reminisce and remember why we were connecting and why we were us, Dan and Jess, and why we are on this journey together. And after that, we just had such a fun time laughing and not thinking about all the trauma and all the drama we're constantly connected to. And really, it just was filling our soul. We prayed together. We read our Bibles in the morning. We just got to get away. We went paddleboarding. If you don't know, Pastor Dan's like an avid paddleboarder. He will do it all day, every day, if he could, but we don't live at the beach. And so he just loves it. So I went out paddleboarding with him, and that was fun, and we had a good time together. And then we came home to our kids, and guess what? I was ready for them again. I was like, all right, I guess I like you today. And so the reality is what was happening was everything around us was sapping everything we had to give. We were running on empty with each other and with everything else. But when we got away, guess what? And then we got intimate with each other, and we got to hold hands and look into each other's eyes. And you know, he gets a little cutesy, like, I just love you. I'm like, I just love you. And we're just so cute together, just me and him, nobody else. Nobody asking us for money. Nobody asking us to do something for them. Nobody breaking things or running their cars into mud ditches or things like that. And all of a sudden, Dan and I were Dan and Jess again. And we were able to conquer the world when we came back. I felt like I was away for like a week. And I was like, let's go. I'm ready for the week. Let's do this. And why? Because I had been with my husband. Because we had been together. See, it's the same with God. If you're feeling drained, if you're feeling worn out, if you're feeling like you can't keep going, I'm here to tell you tonight, you haven't been with God enough. Because we shouldn't always feel drained. We shouldn't always feel worn out. Not when we have the resource of heaven to be our energy, to be our feeling, to be our rejuvenation. That when we get into his presence, guess what? I can overcome these things like pornography and drinking and all these things that want to overtake me and capture my thoughts, and I don't know how to get rid of them. But guess what? I get rid of them when I'm in the presence of God. So guess what? I'm going to stay in the presence of God. Turn off your nasty music and turn on some good worship music. You see, you got to do this yourself. I can't do this for you. I'm your pastor. I wish I could, but I can't. But what I can do is encourage you to keep going, that when you mess up, he's right there waiting for you. Stay connected to God, because Satan is coming after you. He's going to try and take you out. He's going to try and isolate you. He's going to try and discourage you. He's going to get you to sin. And guess what happens when you say yes to Jesus and then you sin afterwards? You know how you feel? I can't talk to God now. I'm embarrassed. And I'm here to tell you, no, you can. You go to that throne room and you say, I messed up. And God's going to say, okay, I saw it. And it's all right. Let's wash you clean. Let's start over. And he dusts you off and he picks you up and he brings you back the dignity that he gave you. And he takes you to the next step of serving him. See, giving your gifts in the church is so important. Did you know that each of you have a gift? You know, the people on stage, those amazing, wonderful people of God, they get to sing. You do not want me to sing. I will run you out this building. But what are your gifts? Maybe you could play guitar. Maybe you can serve as security. I'm so grateful for the security men and women around here. We got some crazy people in San Bernardino. We do. We got them. They come every week, all services. But I'm grateful for them. Why? Because they're using their gifts and their talents. How about you're good with babies and you want to go be a lap lover and go rock the children? Or how about you like the 2 and 3-year-olds that are feisty and talk back to you and you get to play back and forth with them? How about fun? That's so fun. How about the teenagers? Well, you were a broken teenager one time and you know how to help them get out of hell. You know how, and you want to help them and you want to come alongside of them. Go volunteer in our youth ministries. How about the streets? You want to go into the streets. You were that single mom and somebody helped you one time and now you want to go help those. We go out every week and we give food away. We go into neighborhoods every week in San Bernardino. We are feeding over 10,000 pounds of food to people every Saturday morning. Why don't you come out on Saturday morning and volunteer and hand food out? Get outside of yourself. Do something for someone else that you wouldn't normally do. That right there will bless God. That right there will keep you connected. That right there, it will make Satan mad, but it makes God so pleasurably happy. And so we want to pursue God. We want to run after all God has for us. We want to seek his face every day of every hour. I'm that mama. And I tell my kids, hey, you got that TV on. Did you read your Bible yet? And every day, oh yeah, mom, I've already read it. And Dan and some of the boys are going through this really cool book called Fight. And so have you read your devotional yet? Because, you know, dad's going to talk to you about it. And then me and Chloe, we talk about things in the Word all the time. We preach at each other. My mom calls me every day, preaches at me. I just say, amen. All right. And because we have to talk about Jesus. He's so good. He's so full. He wants us to always have him on the forefront of our minds. It says in the Old Testament, put it on, write it on your forehead. You see, we have to stay connected to Jesus because Satan wants to get you disconnected. He will do this by bringing discouragement and isolation. He will bring you busyness. If he can't get you to sin, he'll just keep you busy. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too used to come to church twice a week. Now you go to church once a week. Now you go to church once a month. Why? Because you're so busy. What are you going to tell God when you get to heaven? Sorry, God, I was so busy. And he was like, not with my business you weren't. You were busy with your business. You see, fear and worry, those will be crippling to your mind, especially you overthinkers in your head. Fear and worry will isolate you into your own brain. You got to cast down those vain imaginations that parade themselves above the things of God. You see, Satan's tactics are not to be afraid of. They are to be overcome by the word of God and the word of his testimony. Get out and tell someone. Stay close to who he is because you are more than a conqueror. You are now newly saved and you have the power of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And there is nothing that you cannot do with the power and the presence of God. I want to warn you, church, he's coming and he's coming soon. I don't know when that day is, but as you can see, there are definitely signs of the times. In Revelation 22, 20 through 21, it says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. Another version say, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you all. Amen. I want to read this scripture to you, and it's a prayer. And I want to pray it over your lives tonight as we close out this series. It's in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. And I continue to pray for you, Rock Church, to grow in the love and increase beyond measure, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure without offense until the unveiling of Christ. And you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness that you are found in Jesus, the Anointed One. Brings great praise and glory to God. Amen and amen. Keep going, church. Keep giving God everything you have. Don't allow Satan to disconnect you from all that he has. The benefits of serving Jesus as a new believer is we get to see God, we get to hear God daily, we get to tell someone about him, and we get to shine for him, and we get to stay connected to Jesus for the rest of our life. If you got something from the Lord, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. And so I want to talk to some of you tonight because God has your number, and he sees you, and he wants you to know him personally. We talked about those that knew God and those that have known God for a long time, but some of you might be in this room, and I want to give you an opportunity to know God like we talked about tonight, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's one thing to know God in your mind and to know him as, yes, I believe he is God, but you also have to believe that he is the Savior and that he died on a cross for your sins and that you are in need of him. And Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through him. And so tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus personally. Did you know that he's not some far distant God that you can't know, but no, he's a God who wants to know you intimately. That means that he wants to come and live and dwell within you. That means that your sins can be washed away because he went to that cross and he died on that cross. And he became that sacrificial lamb for your sins. He became the fulfilled covenant. And so tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to say, yes, I recognize that he is God, and I want him to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life because I've been doing things my own way, and it's not working. I need God on my side, and I need the power of God in my life. So tonight, I want you to examine yourself. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to just kind of check your heart and check yourself out. If you were to die tonight and you were to die in a car accident, maybe you were to just have a heart attack instantly and you were to pass away and you were to open your eyes, where would you open them? Would you open them in heaven or would you open them in hell? You say, well, I hope I would open them in heaven. Well, tonight I want to give you an opportunity to make sure that you will open them in heaven because you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been running from God instead of to God. There's been this walk with God in your life, and you've been kind of doing more of your own thing than God's thing, and you're just kind of miserable in the world, and you're miserable while you're at church, and you just kind of can't, you know, figure out your path. But you got to give God everything. He wants all of us. He says, I died on that cross. I gave my son for you. You can come and you can give your life to me so that I can fill you and use you and empower you to be all that I have called you to be on this earth. That plan of God we talked about tonight in Jeremiah, that he knows the plans and the purposes. If you want to know those, you got to meet him. You got to make him the Lord of your life. He has your whole destiny planned out for you. But this is your pivotal moment right now, is to say yes to God. That means, what does your yes look like? Yes doesn't come without a cost. Every yes costs something. It's going to cost you leaving your old self behind. It's going to cost you walking away from sin and saying, I want all of God, so I'm going to leave my sin behind and I'm running after God. Your yes is important to God. So you will invite him to come and we'll pray together, because it's not just one acknowledging God, but it's also talking to God and having that personal, intimate relationship like we talked about. So we'll pray together and we'll invite Jesus to come into our hearts and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And so tonight, if you have looked at your life and you went, Kai, I need to get right with God. I've been playing games. I need to get on the straight. I need to quit playing games. I need to make God everything. Tonight's your night to get right with God. Some of you have been playing and dabbling into demonic practices. There have been things and other places that you've been looking at other religions and other gods, and I'm here to tell you that there is no other God. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the one and true living God. And he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes except through him. So tonight, this is your opportunity to renounce Satan and renounce the works of darkness and run after Christ and give him your life and lay it down and know the true power of God that will flow in and through you. Because the power of God is stronger and more beautiful than anything you will have ever known in your whole life. So tonight, he's calling you. Tonight, you might be feeling like, oh, I hope she stops talking. My heart is beating fast and I feel uncomfortable. Well, guess what? That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to show you, hey, let's connect. I'm calling you home. He already called you by name when you were in your mother's womb. And now he's calling you now to be in relationship with him and to come back to him and to be his son or his daughter. And so this is how it's going to go. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit like that. When I do, you're going to raise your hand. You say, well, why do I got to raise my hand in front of everybody? I don't want to do that. It's kind of embarrassing, Pastor. The reason why is because I'm challenging you. Because when you walk out these doors, every demon in hell is going to be coming after you. And you're going to have to stand for Christ, and you're going to have to be bold. And if you can't do it in a room where it's safe with all of us who love you and who are praying for you right now, and guess what? We are all in your shoes before. We were broken, as you heard my testimony. We were a mess, but we found Jesus, and we gave our lives to him, and we invited him to come and be the Lord and Savior of our lives. And in those moments, something supernatural begins to happen, and God comes and lives in you. He dwells in you, and he fills you, and you begin to become a new creation. And as you do the things we talked about tonight, God begins to empower you with a new life and a new destiny. And so tonight, I want to challenge you to raise your hand and say, well, wouldn't I do that? What does that mean? And the Bible says that if you confess me before man, in Revelation it talks about this, Jesus is speaking, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before man, guess what? I will deny you before my Father. So tonight, when you raise your hand, guess what? I'm going to see you. And we're going to be in this together. You won't be alone in this. I will walk you all the way through to the prayer. And so you're in a safe place. You're in a place where everybody's praying for you and loves you. Don't walk out of here tonight not knowing if you're right with God. Don't walk out of here tonight not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You are not promised tomorrow. We do funeral after funeral here of people that never thought they were going to die. Our father-in-law, he had a heart attack. In 1 second, he was gone. He took a breath and he was gone at 67 years old. You don't know when your last day is, but you have this day. and you have this moment. And God is seeking you out right now, and he loves you. And so come and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. So on the count of three, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, get ready to raise your hand. If you've been running from God instead of to God, and you need to get right tonight, go ahead and raise your hand on the count of three. And if you need to renounce the works of Satan, you need to give everything to God, go ahead and get ready to raise your hand and give it all to God. On the count of three, one, two, three. Raise your hands and keep them up so I can see them. I see that hand. One, two, three. Good. Four. Anybody else in this section? Four. Over here. Anybody over here? Okay. I just want to make sure if I miss you. I don't have my glasses on, so ushers, help me. Five, six, seven. Awesome. All right. Anybody over here? Eight. Awesome. I see you. Anybody in the family rooms back there? If you need Jesus, just wave your hands at me. Oh, I see that hand. Okay, nine. Wonderful. Well, if there's nine, I know there's got to be 10. I'm a greedy mama. Where are you at? 10, wave at me so I can see you. They're pointing over here. Okay. Well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have you all stand up because we don't get saved by raising your hands, but I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. Grab all of your stuff, grab a friend, your coat, your sweater, your purse. If somebody around you raise their hand, why don't you bring them up? And will you come forward and shake my hand and allow me to pray with you personally? So please come forward, please come forward.
Oh, come to.
If you raise your hand, come on, come on, come on.
The Father's
arms. They're coming, they're coming. If you waved your hand in the family room, come on out. We'll wait for you.
Was bodily the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
Awesome. Anybody else? Come on, come on. If you raise your hand, don't miss out. You're already starting rebellious. Let's just give it all to God. Come on. Let's do it. You have nothing to lose. They're coming. They're coming. Come on. We'll wait for you. All right. Well, this is what we're going to do. For the sake of time, I'm going to pray with you, but then afterwards, I'm going to have you go with our beautiful team right here, okay? And they're going to give you some information about the spiritual personal training that we just went through, and they're going to give you that book. They're going to give you a friend, okay? And so as you turn and go with them, they'll do that. But first, let's pray together, okay? Because you don't get saved by coming forward or raising your hand, but you just get saved by talking to God and inviting him to come. And we're going to repent of our sins, and then we're going to invite him to come and be the Lord of our life, okay? So everybody bow your head, close your eyes. And repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you tonight, and I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So Jesus, I invite you into my heart to come and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Show me your ways. Teach me from your word. Holy Spirit, fill me and show me how to live for you every day of my life. Today is the day that I leave my old man behind. I leave hell behind, and I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I have a new future, a new destiny, and I'm washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me, for loving me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woohoo! We're so excited for you guys. So many cool things ahead. A lot of you are young adults, so I want to invite you out to our young adults group on Friday night. Is that this week or next week? Next week. We do it every other week, okay? So not this Friday, but the Friday after. And it's at 7 o'clock in the youth room. And so we have that. But come on out on Sunday. Get back into church on Sunday night. We got so many services for you guys. You don't want to miss out because you've got to keep getting filled up on the things of God, okay? And so why don't you just go ahead and turn, and they'll let you come right back in. They'll pray with you. They'll get you a Bible if you need a Bible, okay? And then they'll let you come right back in. Awesome. Well, church, I want to see these altars filled on a Wednesday night and on a Sunday night. And so you need to go out and begin to tell someone about Jesus, okay? Let's go be full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me pronounce a blessing over you for the rest of your week. Go ahead and raise your hands to heaven. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful saints, these beautiful, wonderful men and women of the Most High. God, go before them with favor and bless them. God, I ask for increase. I ask for stretching. I ask for maturity. I ask for open doors upon their lives, Lord. I pray, God, that you would anoint them, that you would gift them, Lord. Send laborers across their path to be a witness for your gospel. And Lord, I ask God that the power of God would flow through them and in them. And Lord, we thank you for the Inland Empire. We shout out loud and we declare in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bring someone to church on Sunday.
What a blessing.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.